Hi, good afternoon. I'm Amelia Kenner-Brininger with the County of San Diego Emergency Medical Services. Okay. So I think I'm supposed to read this slide. The following personal financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months, and there's no relationship to disclose. Okay, so the learning objectives for this presentation, we're going to identify the benefit of linking these EMS patient records with stroke patients' hospital records, and name some EMS indicators that can build the evidence base to enhance stroke-related pre-hospital policies, procedures, and education. So quick background on San Diego County Stroke Receiving System. It started in July 2009 when the County of San Diego Emergency Medical Services began to designate hospitals as stroke receiving centers, and also the creation of the Stroke Consortium, which is a group of stroke program coordinators from hospitals, neurologists, interventionalists, who meet quarterly to discuss data and policies and things like that. Currently, there are 16 stroke receiving centers. Two are comprehensive stroke centers, and 12 are primary stroke centers as designated by the Joint Commission. And then we have two more hospitals that fit our criteria to be considered a stroke receiving center. And part of the benefit of being a stroke receiving center is that EMS patients with stroke symptoms are diverted to the nearest stroke center rather than just the nearest ED. And then as part of being a stroke receiving center, the hospitals agree to submit their data to us quarterly. And part of that data submission includes what we call the pre-hospital run number. So that's the unique identifier that links for each pre-hospital run. So we're able to then use that number to link our stroke data to those pre-hospital records. So a little bit more information about our pre-hospital patient record. There's many fields in there that are important, including things like medications and skills given, if they're transported, the receiving facility ID, and then what we use to kind of describe the reason why 911 was called, which is called the provider impression, or used to be called the chief complaint. And so we have 71 total provider impressions that are wrapped up into these 10 larger categories. And for stroke, we expect that these three provider impressions listed down at the bottom is really where our stroke cases will fall, and we're designed to capture those cases. Okay, so this is the first time we've linked these data, so we had to kind of come up with our process and then our criteria for including the cases in the analysis. So to start, each quarter when the stroke centers submit their data, we go through and look for any case that we have arrival mode of EMS. We look for missing run numbers. So we try and find those in our pre-hospital database based on certain search criteria that we follow. And then we also look for ones that are clearly mis-entered because oftentimes the stroke centers have to go and hand enter, or they use a variety of different methods to find these run numbers, so they're not always accurate. So we go and try and fix those too if they're clearly out of range or not enough digits long or whatever. So, but then because of the volume of stroke cases that we receive every year, it's really not feasible for us to go through and check every single run number that we receive. So then from here we take all of the stroke cases that have that EMS from home scene arrival mode and then have a run number, and we link them to our pre-hospital record. So then some of those don't match a pre-hospital record, so then we went in and reviewed those cases as well to see if we could find the appropriate run number for those cases. So then at that point we had to come up with an inclusion criteria for our particular analysis. So there were some very clear criteria, such as the receiving facility in the pre-hospital record should match our stroke center's ID for that case. The pre-hospital record should indicate that the patient was transferred, because they had to be transferred to get into our stroke center's data. Then things like the pre-hospital record date needed to match the arrival date of our stroke cases. Or then if it was an overnight transport, then we wanted it to be within within 3 hours of each other. And then the pre-hospital record date needed to happen before they arrived at the hospital. So those were some major criteria. And then we used things to be, we wanted to be a little bit more on the conservative side with our analysis because this was the first time we were looking at this, and we wanted to make sure we really truly were capturing the correct pre-hospital case to our stroke center, to our stroke data. So we wanted to make sure that the genders in the pre-hospital record matched our stroke center gender, reported gender, and then also that the age ranges were within 10 years of each other is what we decided. So that's our criteria we used for inclusion. Then we use Access to link the two data sets. The analysis was done in SPSS and Excel. We use the demographic information that was submitted in the stroke record rather than the pre-hospital record for some of the analysis that you'll see. And then we looked at a lot of our pre-hospital data by stroke diagnosis. Okay, so we had 7,559 submitted EMS stroke cases over the 3 years, the 2011 to 2013, that were all linked to a pre-hospital record. And then after we applied our criteria, we ended up with about 90% of our original data set. And you can see over the 3 years, it's pretty evenly spread, the number of cases per year. Okay, so this is where we started to learn some information. Two-thirds of all of the cases were ischemic stroke, which matches our overall data set that we have when we look regardless of mode of arrival. And the largest proportion of cases occurred among females age 80 to 89, with about 20% of all of the transported cases, the EMS cases, being in that age group. And then the next largest group was males in that same age group at about 12% of all of the cases. And this actually matches pretty closely to the overall pre-hospital system, the age and gender groups that are the most frequent users. When we looked at the acuity of the cases, the majority of them were classified as mild, but when we started to look at it by their final diagnoses, you could see that 1/4 of the intracerebral hemorrhage cases were actually acute, which is, and then the subarachnoid hemorrhage cases were acute. 22% of them were acute as well. So then we started to look at our provider impressions. 90.5% of all of our cases fell within that larger provider impression category of neurological related. But then when we looked at those three provider impressions that we were expecting all of our stroke cases to fall under, only just over half of them fell in those categories. So then we decided to look at it by diagnoses. In the ranking of the most common. So you can see altered level of consciousness was actually pretty common for both the two types of hemorrhage, 26% and 21.8% for the subarachnoid hemorrhage, followed by a lot of the neurological deficit. Those are the stroke provider impressions. And then we found things like headache came in at 21%, which actually was tied for the ranking of first under subarachnoid hemorrhage. And then weak, dizzy, sick, nausea is, you see it's lower, it's the fourth and fifth ranking, but that was something that came through too. And even the blunt trauma, the head and neck, came in at 5.8% for the subarachnoid hemorrhage. And something else we noticed was that about 80% of all of the cases were in these top five provider impressions, except for the subarachnoid hemorrhage. You can see it's about 2/3 rather than the 80% for the other diagnoses. So that was something interesting we noticed as well. So then we looked at the skills and the medications that were done in the pre-hospital setting. So of the skills, basically all of the stroke cases had some skill that was performed in the pre-hospital setting, but an average of nearly 3 skills per case that received a skill was performed. Overall, there were 38 different skills that were counted, but eight of those skills accounted for 96% of all of those skills that were performed. So you can see pulse oximetry was the most common skill performed, and that virtually all 90.8% of all of the stroke cases received that pulse oximetry skill. And then under medications, just over half of our stroke cases had a pre-hospital medication administered. An average of 1.4 medications were administered to those stroke patients that received a medication. 23 different medications were administered, but 7 of those accounted for 95% of all of those medications administered. So the most common was normal saline, and you can see that 82.4% of those cases received saline. Oxygen was really common too. It was another, I think, about 60% of the cases received oxygen. Okay, so what we learned from this. This is the first time we were able to look at our local data for this kind of information to see how pre-hospital treatment varied by stroke diagnoses. We found that the 3 provider impressions for strokes do provide a way to categorize those stroke patients, but clearly it's only catching about half of those patients that end up being a stroke. So we may need to look into further reasons of why they are not in one of those 3 categories. The skills and the medications we saw are common really to all patients seen in the pre-hospital setting, so we really want to look into kind of the combination of meds and skills or other factors such as vital signs and things that are seen in the pre-hospital setting along with these meds and skills to see if there's something that we can kind of start to tease out that's really more specific to our stroke patients. But really it does provide like a valuable, interesting first look at this type of data because we've never really been able to do that before, and so we can start to see what a stroke patient looks like in the field and what kind of treatment they're receiving in the field. So some next steps, we want to look into the vital signs that are recorded in the pre-hospital records. Comparing our stroke data, pre-hospital data with similar other patients in the pre-hospital setting with similar demographics, like the same age groups and things, to see if there's any significant differences or, in the skills and medications and things that happen in the pre-hospital setting. We have a large section of our pre-hospital record that's just a text field for recording more specific things about symptoms and signs seen in the field, so we might start doing some word searches in those to see if we can start to pull out anything specific to our stroke patients versus the rest of the pre-hospital patients we see. And we also want to start looking into things about transport times and making sure, just looking into time spent in the field versus getting them quickly to a stroke center and kind of the what's happening in the field to warrant maybe a longer time spent in the field. And then as the state of California is developing some stroke receiving system regulations of their own, so as those start to come down to the local jurisdictions, we're going to have to start continue really with our analysis of this and to really enhance the evidence base and see if we're going to end up developing new pre-hospital policies and education materials for our EMS personnel regarding stroke. Okay, so quick thank you to all of our EMTs, paramedics, nurses, and doctors who provide care to the stroke patients in San Diego County and the San Diego County Stroke Consortium members. And then if you have any questions, here's my contact information. And
are we going to do questions now?
Yes. Okay, so I can take any questions now, too, if you guys.